Thank you. As Robert said, I am the executive producer of a program called Latino USA. It's a program that is heard on 200 stations, some of them NPR stations, some of them community stations, some of them commercial stations across the country. And that program is actually the end product of more than 20 years of Latinos trying to gain access to the system that we call public radio or community radio or non-commercial radio. I just want to say before I talk a little bit about those 20 years and what that means for 1997 in terms of all of us, but particularly I speak from my perspective as a Latina producer in public radio who's had this experience since 1975. In various communiques with the organizers of this particular panel, it was called The Politics of Public Radio, or in some it was called The Future of Public Radio. So I was just thinking that although we do have to deal with the politics and perhaps some of the criticisms that we may have of National Public Radio or Pacifica Radio, that we really do look to the future of public radio. That's the way that myself, in my experience as an outsider, because I've always been kind of on the outside here, trying to crawl my way into whether it was community radio or national public radio or having some space for the Latino community's voice to be heard at whatever network or radio station I might have worked at. I want to talk a little bit about the reasons why I got into doing radio in the first place. 25 years ago, I was in Northern California, and I tuned in to 89.1 FM and heard English and heard Spanish and heard reggae and heard rancheras and heard public affairs programming and heard dedicas or dedications on a lowrider show. And never ever in my whole experience of listening to the radio in the Bay Area, very diverse radio market, had I heard anything that reflected me in this way. And it was only possible because it was happening on that non-commercial frequency. And as Dr. McChesney said, the opportunities in non-commercial radio are endless. And that's not to say that the vision has been fulfilled. After 20 years, that station that I first was so attracted to and then went to work at, that was then the first Latino-controlled and operated public radio station. There has been some progress in 20 years, but that station is still hanging on by, you know, just the skin of its teeth, as are the other stations that came in its wake, the other Latino-controlled radio stations, and I'm sure that it's a very similar situation for minority-controlled radio stations across the country. I was speaking to somebody at a station called KDNA in Granger, Washington, yesterday. It's a station that has served the farm worker community of the state of Washington, the people who pick the hops, make the beer we all drink, that work on the apples and the cherries, and they've been extremely instrumental in providing that very important link of information about immigration reform, about AIDS in farm worker communities, and eight of their staff have been laid off in the last year. The station manager and the development director are on unemployment, or had been from January to September. This is dedication. They're seeing their funding cut for several reasons. One of them has to do with the cuts in the Corporation for Public Broadcasting, in the defunding of training programs, and in the general political climate that is affecting this country. They used to get some of their money from education programs for immigrants. Well, those programs, those state agencies that used to fund those programs are just not willing to do that anymore. The idea is, why do we need to educate immigrants? Just, you know, let them leave, deport them, or if they're legal, well, that's another complication, but why do we need to educate them? So that's affecting those stations. And why I talked about, you know, those stations is that for me, it's kind of a closure, that's the reason that I started working in public radio, and I think perhaps that it's similar to the reasons why all of you are involved in public radio, in this medium, that has an ability to touch people's minds and hearts, and that allows us to do that a little bit. In the 90s, there are many contradictions having to do with public radio, whether it's National Public Radio or Pacifica. I have, as a Latina, have always felt those contradictions and have had a love-hate relationship both with NPR and at times over the years with Pacifica, because I used to, you know, I used to hear from the Latinos who'd work at the different, you know, Pacifica stations, and I'd hear their horror stories. And you know, certainly at NPR, we've had our horror stories as well. But then, you know, it's we talk about some of the issues that were being talked about in the panel prior to this on gender and on race and on sex and the alternative media. And basically, you know, when the alternative media looks at its record having to do with gender and race, that, you know, there are no good guys and bad guys here. That basically the alternative media, be it radio or print, has as bad or even as worse record in terms of hiring and people of color, and that's just the way it is and the way it has been, and I'm very glad to see some changes at Pacifica. I see a couple of people, talented Latina producers and reporters working at the Pacifica News Bureau. And that's where the change begins to happen, the real change, when you have people who are determining the content. Unfortunately, in National Public Radio, since I left the national desk 5 years ago, there have been no other Latina or Latino producers, editors, on the national desk, and at times I hear that in the content of the stories that are not produced. It's if I could just sort of very briefly kind of do this wrap up of kind of, there's been different stages, right, in terms of Latinos and other minorities getting into public radio, right? There was the 70s when we had to sort of crawl our way inside, right? All the doors were closed and we were banging on them. And then in 1978, there was a report called Asleep at the Transmitter that looked at public broadcasting and said, hey, there's no programming about this huge portion of the population, and you are public radio, and there are few people working either at the network level or at the station level. And then there was windows of opportunity that that happened at the time that affirmative action was happening in the rest of the society. And then in the 80s, during the climate of Reagan, and a climate that looked at mainstreaming these issues, and a climate that looked at ratings, and David Giovanni's look at statistics that said that people who listened to public radio were white and middle class and mostly male. And so why did you have to have it in Enfoque Nacional, or why did you have to have that three-hour block that spoke in Spanish, or spoke to a certain community, or spoke to Native Americans, or spoke to African Americans? And I think now what's happening is we have two currents, right? And there are two currents that are hitting public radio. They're hitting the community at large. They're hitting the commercial media, and in some ways, public radio as well. I mean, you have people in charge who are saying, you know, I'm progressive. I know all this stuff. You know, I can interpret the minority reality. And then you have the demographics. And it's the demographics that public radio also has to pay attention to, be it national public radio, be it commercial radio, be it Pacifica or community radio stations, that the audience is younger, increasingly younger, and increasingly of color.
Thank you very much.